Okay, boys, this got to work.
Let's get back to work, guys.
I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living.
You need a job so you can pay. Get a job.
You don't got to go to work. Working 9 to 5.
I suck at this job.
He works hard.
Welcome to the working week.
My fellow employees, it gives me great pleasure to say
you are a good worker and a good man.
But I wake up and nothing's wrong. Just get ready for work, 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 work.
Is this your handiwork or did you bring in an independent contractor to finish the job?
God, I can't wait to quit this job.
You know what? You all suck. I quit.
And now, getting you to work, it's Bob and Sherry.
Yay! Welcome to the show, everybody. We're working hard for you today. Coming up in an hour from now, we've got some songs that are celebrating their 25th birthday today. And I think some of us are going to take some of that kind of hard because it's kind of hard to believe. Plus, the hilarious Irish comedian Colm Terrell's on the show today. And you're going to be really glad, no matter how much you hate going to the doctor today, you're going to be really glad that you're alive today and not back in the day. So I want to tell you guys something. I spent a long weekend visiting my mom with my brother and my sister-in-law. And my mom is in a new era of her life. She's in the change the subject to something completely random era. Have any of you had this with like your parents or maybe even like your spouse or life partner? Like,
you'll be talking about, for a living. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Yeah. So you're good at it, right? So you'll be talking about one thing and then suddenly, I don't even know what we were talking about, but it was something completely random. My mother goes, "Oh, Sherry, before I forget, I have to tell you something and you can talk about it on your radio show." I was like, "Oh." She said, "It's very interesting. It's pop culture. I think it'll be perfect." Let me tell you something. My mom's stepping up to work on the show here. A+ effort. Mm-hmm. So I was like, "Mom, what is it?" And she said, "I was on the internet and I learned this. I was reading, you know, Beauty and the Beast, not the Disney cartoon, but the original Beauty and the Beast story. Mm-hmm. It was written for a reason." And I'm like, "Yeah, tell me more." My mom goes, "Well, when it was written, very often marriages were arranged. And the woman, and they were very young. These girls were like sometimes 13, 14 years old. And they didn't really get a choice because their husbands were chosen for them for financial reasons or because two families wanted to merge their little land empires or whatever. And so the story Beauty and the Beast was written in the year 1740 to encourage girls to accept being forced into marriage, to give up their own dreams and desires, and to submit to the will of a monster."
Wow.
Round of
and possibly
for
an unattractive monster.
Yeah. Round of applause for my mom doing some show prep. Am I right?
Yeah.
But think about it. Now I need you to think about it. The plot of Beauty and the Beast. Everyone makes fun of Belle because she likes to read. Ooh. Oh my God. Scandal. A woman reading a book. The idea is getting pumped into her little tiny head. And then, you know, she's in the palace or castle or whatever it is. And the beast is a monster. Like, that's why they call him a beast.
Yeah.
But you know what the song says. Barely even friends, but then somebody bends unexpectedly. Yeah. And so I was like, "Man, that is fascinating." My mom said, "I'll tell you another thing. The teacups did not sing." Nail it, bring it home and land it. Because she's right. My mom is right. In the 1740s, we did not have singing teacups.
You know what the subtext is also? He may be a beast. He may not be attractive in your eyes. He may be a beast. But you know what? You're going to find out that way down deep inside, he's good and you're lucky.
Just be patient.
Just be patient.
Patient.
Yeah.
Exactly. And shower him with love.
Right.
Because that is what the beast needs. He needs you to shower him with love. And stop filling your head with a bunch of nonsense from those books. So, yeah, isn't that a really
interesting
little thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing how in this life, on this planet, there are so many people over the centuries who want to control you, you know? And not just women, but I mean, there are dictators that are controlling people's very existence for their whole lives, just because somehow they were scary guys that got a gig, right? And so that you're living the way you're living because of one guy sometimes.
I am never surprised. Like if you look at history, I am never surprised that there are people who want complete and total control. But I'm always surprised by the people who are about to be controlled and oppressed, who walk right into the shark's mouth, cheering and demanding it. Because they think that freedom Security. Is somehow dangerous. And mm-hmm. so they want to be oppressed. But just right. remember that. And thank you, Mom, for that fun fact. That's the true story of how Beauty and the Beast came to be. All right, straight ahead, we're going to shout out this month's teacher that we're sending to Florida. We got morons in the news. It's Bob and Sherry.
Mother's Day will be here before you know it. Avoid the last-minute crunch by ordering now from the Bob and Sherry store.
Hurry, hurry, hurry!
We have some great stuff and a great deal for you. Mother of all mothers tote bags, large enough to hold all the gear for your family outing.
Wow!
Mother of all mothers nightshirts, one size fits most, and it's a great beach cover-up. That's in addition to our regular line of Bob and Sherry books, drinkware, and wearables.
Okay, that sounds like a fair deal.
And we're giving you 15% off your entire order by using the code MOM23. That's MOM23 at checkout. Code expires on Mother's Day. The Bob and Sherry store, conveniently located at bobandsherry.com.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
Oh, I love this time of the month. Hey, and that's a thing I don't often say. But
It's never been said.
I love this time of the month because this is the day that we celebrate this month's teacher winner in our Bob and Sherry teacher contest. We're about to send a very hardworking, very underappreciated, very deserving teacher to Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach, Florida, courtesy of Visit Florida. Take it away, Lamar.
I am so happy to announce that Kristen Meeks from Modesto, California, is the winner. And I'm very excited to read her letter. My dad was a teacher, first a high school band director, and then a high school counselor. I wanted to be just like him. I saw how he helped so many kids during his 30-plus years in education. And when the time came to follow my educational goals, the choice was very easy. I became a teacher too. I wanted to help students just like my dad. I wanted to be a positive role model in their lives just like my dad. And I wanted to find ways to engage students and create a love of learning inside themselves. Now, I'm a kindergarten teacher and I absolutely love kindergarten. Every day is a different day and that's what makes my job the very, very best. I get to experience smiles, laughs, learning every single day. I get to teach my students so much in just a single year. We go from how to hold a pencil, to reading, to writing, adding and subtracting. We learn how to be a friend, how to show caring and compassion, and how to be the best student that they can be. My dad was proud to see me achieve my goals of teaching, and even with his passing 3 years ago, I still feel like I am continuing his legacy of teaching. And as I complete my 25th year of teaching, all kindergarten, I still feel like I have so much more to give my students.
Oh,
I cannot imagine
that's a
what
teacher.
Her dad
that's
must
a
feel
real
like.
Teacher.
Oh, my
yeah,
gosh.
That's fantastic.
Oh, my gosh.
Hope she has
well,
great time.
Kristen
will
Meeks.
Change those kids' lives for the rest of their life.
Oh, right. Guys. I'm so mad at myself that I didn't save this video because I can't share it now. I can't find it, but I think it was either on my Twitter or Threads. So the video opens up and it's a classroom and it's a kindergarten classroom. And the only person in there is the teacher and she is sitting at her desk working on something. And then it cuts to the hallway and coming down the hallway of this school are all of these fully grown teenagers in caps and gowns. And they're whispering and being really quiet. You know where this is going, right?
Yeah, I do.
and they open the classroom door and the teacher looks up and they start filing in. I'm going to start crying right now. They start filing in their caps and gowns. And she said, what is this? And the girl in front says, Miss So-and-so, you may not recognize us, but, and that I just lost at that. They filed into this classroom and thanked her for the role she had played in their school years. And they were all, I mean, it was one of the most beautiful and emotional and sweet things I have ever seen on the internet.
That's so nice.
And I'm so mad that I didn't save it.
Awesome.
It's beautiful.
Awesome.
Yeah, so Kristen Meeks of Modesto, congratulations. Cannot wait to hang with you at the Margaritaville Beach Resort. And, you know, you forget a lot of stuff in your life, but I've never met someone who doesn't have a very, at least one very clear, sharp memory of kindergarten and their kindergarten teacher. Have you?
It's true. No, that's true.
I never got to go to kindergarten.
Oh, you didn't get to go to kindergarten?
I wish I'd have had her
as a kindergarten teacher.
Yeah.
My life would probably be a little bit different than it is right now.
Oh, yeah. You'd be a rocket scientist.
So you skipped a grade? Look at how precocious you were. They skipped you right into first or second grade?
Yeah, first grade. Yeah.
Hey, Lamar, you know why that was? Because you were able to keep your pants dry. You told me that once, and I remembered it.
Kidney control. Yeah. Control those kidneys, kids. Control them.
Yep.
They were like, you see that little Richardson boy? He keeps his britches dry. Just move him right into first grade. Morons in the News is next. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Here we go!
It's Bob and Sherry.
The craziest.
Moronic.
Asinine.
With Morons in the News.
America, we need to calm down. A Muncie, Indiana man was just arrested after police say he robbed his barber and threatened to shoot up the barbershop over a messed up haircut. Now, there's a lot of the sisters out there going, I know what that's about. Maybe he... No, this was wrong. Davion Haynard is a 24-year-old Muncie man who was arrested on felony robbery and intimidation charges. The arrest stemmed from an argument between Haynard and his barber. They were called to the Kings and Queens Barber Shop about 1:20 in the afternoon. Police identified Mr. Haynard, who said that during a scheduled haircut, the barber, quote, messed his hair up, unquote. Haynard admitted that he got upset with the barber. He said, the barber messed up my line. And I guess that's kind of the style that he had of some type. Messed up the line. Well, the officer spoke with the barber and said, what was this deal? And the barber said he kept talking about his line. I don't know what he was talking about. I'm giving a pretty good haircut. Well, Mr. Haynard did not feel that way. When they finished with the haircut, Mr. Haynard got upset, ripped off the cape, and while standing in the shop, said to the barber, how about we just fight? How about we fight? After saying this, Mr. Haynard then put his hand next to his waist. How about I just shoot this place up and then we fight? And the police tried to calm him down. But while that calming was going on, the barber took out his wallet. And Mr. Haynard saw the wallet, grabbed it from him, took out 20 bucks, started to hand it back, then saw there was more money in there, and took out the rest of the money. He is now being charged with several felonies. Folks, everybody knows that it really is a bummer when somebody screws up your haircut. But here's the thing. If you got hair, it's going to grow back. It's going to grow back.
You can't be shooting it, folks. Yeah.
You can't.
Nope.
You can't shoot up the kings and queens. No, Lamar.
A woman was arrested for driving while intoxicated and headed to the liquor store shortly after, where she was arrested again for the same crime, a report said. Ellen, 64, crashed a 2012 Lexus sedan into a parked car at around 2:30 p.m. And police said that they could smell alcohol in her breath, and they took her in. She failed the field sobriety test, so they wanted to find out what the actual blood alcohol level was. Turns out it was a 0.23, nearly triple the legal limit. She was charged with DUI and possession of controlled substance for this painkiller she had. And 6 hours after being released, Ellen headed to the liquor store again. I got to give it to her. Ellen ain't no quitter, okay? I'm with her. The police pulled her over and brought her to the station where her blood alcohol level at that time was 0.09, still above the legal limit. This all happened within a 24-hour period. Now, I feel like I have to speak up for Ellen, even though she was totally wrong to be drunk driving. I feel like the police was hunting on a baited field, because if you're arrested for a DUI, shouldn't you have to stay in jail until you are sober? I mean, she
sounds
was still
right.
drunk when they got her. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. You know,
sounds right.
Ellen do better, but let's keep her there till she's straight.
Right.
That's what I say.
And finally, so I was I was with my family over the weekend. I was trying to explain to my sister-in-law what we did for Morons in the News. And so I was coming up with some examples, and I said, well, let me tell you one of my favorite ones of all time, which I'm going to share with you all now because it is truly one of my favorite Morons in the News of all time. This guy goes into a Circle K convenience store / gas station, and he's got a weapon, and he points it at the clerk, and he gets some money. And about a minute later, he gets arrested. And he ends up sentenced to 15 years in prison. And he was confused because he had worn a disguise to rob the Circle K. And he was just amazed that law enforcement was able to track him down. Well, folks, his disguise was a clear plastic bag, which he pulled down over his face.
Yeah.
And he's standing there at the cash register with a clear plastic bag pulled over his face, and he periodically looks up at the security camera and makes eye contact with it. And then when the law dogs popped him, he was like, oh, you coppers, how'd you get me?
He's there, lucky, you know, he didn't suffocate.
Sometimes a person needs to be locked up, not just for committing a crime, but for their own good. Because this person is too stupid to function. All right. That is Morons in the News coming up. Happy 25th birthday to a whole bunch of songs that are going to have you screaming in shock. Plus the hilarious column Tyrell. It's Bob and Cherry.
Bob and Cherry are teaming up with Visit Florida this school year to salute teachers for all the hard work they do by giving them a chance to win a well-deserved relaxing vacation to Margaritaville Beach Resort, Fort Myers Beach. Situated on the Gulf of Mexico, this laid-back retreat is the perfect place for our teachers to find the coolest shells in the sand, sip frozen concoctions, indulge in local fare, and revel in spectacular sunsets. Plus, each teacher and their guest will receive exclusive access to the Fins Up Beach Club to enjoy the action-packed aquatic playground or chill out to the sound of great music on the Sunset Terrace. If you want to nominate a special teacher or even yourself to win this awesome vacation, log on to bobandcherry.com and hit the contest tab. Nominated teachers could win weekly prizes and qualify for the monthly grand prize, a spot to travel with us this summer on our trip for teachers to Florida. Teachers, we salute you with our trip for teachers to Florida from Visit Florida and Bob and Cherry. Contest rules apply.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Cherry. Cherry.
Okay, I'm going to give you three of my favorite tweets of the week. And I say tweet. I just can't say X. I know it's been like over a year, I guess,
They're still called tweets.
Yeah, they're still called tweets? Yeah. I don't know anybody. Do you know anybody who calls it? Well, I was on X yesterday. I don't know anybody.
I don't fool with that. It's Twitter.
It's an ugly,
you know who calls it
logo.
X? Because I had this encounter with an Apple genius. 25-year-old red pill guys call it X. Yeah. Everybody else is like,
all right,
it's Twitter.
All right. All right. So these are my three favorites of the week. The first one is from Stone Cold Fox. And she says, not to romanticize the medical practices of the early 1900s, but doctors really fell off when they stopped prescribing visits to the seaside. And you know what? I agree. It's so true. What happened with that, right? They used to do that. Oh, you need to go to this. You don't look good. You need to go to the seaside. Here's the next one. I think this is actually my favorite, just because of what we do. This is from somebody named Jen. One of my classmates says he's going into the consulting business because he likes giving people his opinion, but he doesn't like doing anything. I got it, Jen. I totally, totally get you.
That's a win.
You're exactly.
That's a
right.
win.
That's a win. And this one, I wish I'm going to describe it to you. I wish you could see it. It's a bathroom. Looks like it might be in a restaurant. It's a fairly good size room, and it has a toilet, handrails, a sink, and four chairs in the bathroom. Four chairs. And Ava, who posted it, said, "Why is there room for a live audience?" You know what? I think very observant. Very observant. Thank you to all those people on Twitter. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
Music is such a great marker of time, but it always gives you like the woo-woos when you go, oh yeah, I love this song. This song is how old? Because it makes you realize like, oh wow, time is passing, right? So Doc has compiled some songs I think you're going to be shocked that are about to celebrate their 25th birthday, which is a pretty big milestone, quarter century. Where do you want to start, Max?
So these aren't ranked in any particular order. This first one, it seemed like Orlando, Florida was a hotbed of boy band activity led by these guys.
Tell me why.
Yeah.
Wow.
Before I had kids of my own, you know, my brothers had kids, my friends had kids, and my nieces and nephews came to visit me, and I loaded them and my neighbor's children in the back of my car, and I took them to the lake. And they wanted to hear this song and only this song on repeat for the entire drive. And they all sang along at the top of their voices. And it was like you're crying laughing because the youngest was like four belting this out.
Okay, now
and I've never known what way it was they wanted it.
Please. Can I put some perspective? Then we'll continue with these songs. Of 25 years, let's say the person listening to us right now is a baby boomer and they were listening to music, when they were growing up in the late 60s, mid to late 60s. 25 years earlier would put that in the Al Capone era. Think about that.
Oh, my God. That is terrifying. All right. Yeah. Let's hit the next one.
Okay. The next one. This is what a critic wrote about this band. Three snot-nosed San Diego punks bottled suburban angst and distilled it into shiny pop songs. Who are we talking about? Blink 182.
All the small things, true care, truth brings. I'll take one lift. You're right. Best trip.
And they're on tour, by the way, now.
Are.
Like, if, just to keep that into perspective, that critic who called them snotty brats, those guys are on a world tour right now.
Yeah, they were clever. The lyrics were very clever.
All of it's clever. It is.
It's hard to believe it's 25, though.
Yeah. Well, the thing about them is they didn't rail against suburbia. They embraced it, you know?
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
Okay, she's still in the news. And this song that she did is 25 years old.
I just can't sleep. I'm so excited. I'm in too deep. Oh, crazy.
This has such a early 2000s sound, doesn't it, though?
It does,
yeah. You can't really tell the instruments. They just kind of blend together.
Okay, and the next one we have, and she's still around, and here she is.
If you wanna be with me, baby, there's a price to pay. I'm a cheating liar. I'm a
she was a kid when this song came out.
She, right? She kind of defined a way that women sang for a long period of time, you know?
But yeah. She didn't have one of those little squeaky voices. I mean, she could really belt.
Yeah, Christina Aguilera didn't need any help from auto-tune or anything else.
Not at all.
Yeah. No.
Neither did this woman.
Faith Hill.
Yeah.
All right, someone's going to need to get Bob, like, an ice pack because we were bludgeoned to death by this song since we work in radio.
Oh, man.
He's breaking out into hives right now.
Well, the song was everywhere.
Yeah.
The song was on multiple formats and radio stations. It was everywhere.
So we've got a song coming up. We interviewed this one-hit wonder, and something very funny happened during the interview that Bob did, and we'll tell you about it coming up next. It's Bob and Sherry.
At the Bob and Sherry Show, we want to celebrate your mom this Mother's Day because she's more than a mom. Just go to the contest tab at bobandsherry.com and tell us about her. Include a picture of you and your mom. Four lucky winners will be chosen to receive a prize pack with jewelry from Landon Lacey Jewelry at landonlacey.com and a mom-themed pillow from Check Feather and Down. Celebrate your mom.
Mother's Day, Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day. Here's a gift I'll give to you on this Mother's Day.
With Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
All right, so we're back looking at some of these songs that are turning 25 right now, and it's just mind-blowing. Where are we on the list?
So this guy was a one-hit wonder, and we interviewed him, and at the beginning of the interview, he said, "Thank you very much for the flowers." And Bob jumped in and said, "You're very welcome." We didn't send him any flowers.
You have to take, you know, you want to get off on the right foot, you know.
Right.
If that's a gift. Somebody threw us some flowers. I'm taking credit. You know me and credit.
Here you go. Here, oh, I do.
Here is Lou Bega.
A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's what I see. A little bit of Sandra in the sun.
How does this guy not have any other hits?
I know.
I don't know.
I know. Did he ever realize that we did not send the flowers that I eventually fess up?
He never did.
He never did?
It was a great moment. It really was.
Yeah.
And after the interview, I said, did we send him flowers? Bob went, no, but you just roll with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a gift.
This next song is actually historic. And it's historic for this reason. It is the first song that was ever a hit that was produced that was completely done digitally without any tape.
I didn't know that about this.
Yeah.
This is the first digital.
Completely digital pop song.
When you say that, do you mean it was the first digitally recorded song or were there no instruments? Actually,
oh no,
used.
These are instruments digitally recorded.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what I thought.
I remember when this song came out having like a real dark night of the soul because the only La Vida Loca I've lived has been actual, literally Loca. Like, no fun La Vida Loca. No dancing on tables with my cherry red lips or anything. Just, yeah, I think people are having a better time than we are, Bob.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So, what's the next one?
The next song, I think that this may be the song we played the most. I was so tired of this when I was working on the
God,
show.
Oh, God, here we go. It's just like the ocean.
This played for a year.
It's a great song.
This was on radio playlist for a year, maybe a year and a half to 2 years. It just wouldn't go away. And it's a great song.
It's a great song. My husband has this on one of his driving playlists.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, why don't you like this? I'm like, it's not that I don't like it. Have you seen the movie Clockwork Orange where they strap the guy to a chair, pry his eyelids open, and force him to consume content? That was us with this song.
2 years. That's right.
It's a great song.
It is.
Once an hour, every hour for two solid years.
The guy who's the lead singer on this song died just last year. And I think you guys emceed a concert where they were in Iowa. This is Smash Mouth.
Hey, now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. Hey, now, you're a rock star. Get the show on. Get paid.
Yeah, he did pass away. Big guy.
Steve Harwell.
Yeah, was he the one, Sherry, who stopped the crowd from assaulting that girl who was crowd surfing?
They were. They were sexually assaulting a girl in the crowd, and Steve stopped the show and chewed them a new one.
Yeah.
I have to say, that was one of the more depraved afternoons I've ever lived, and it was in a cornfield near Dubuque. Like, yeah, you just didn't... Right. Hey, we're going to be in a cornfield near Dubuque, and it's going to be among the most depraved things you've ever witnessed humans doing to each other.
What she's talking about, and I'm going to have to be careful describing this, but we brought on one act, and
Cherry
they were
Pop
mostly...
Cherry Pop and Daddies.
Yeah, right. And two girls got on stage and just started... embracing each other, shall we say, and ended up rolling around on the stage while the band played. I mean,
that
I've
was
never,
nothing.
I've never, yeah.
That was nothing. What Steve Harwell stopped the show for was people were crowd surfing, and this girl got thrown up into the crowd, and she was wearing shorts and a tank top. And let me let you use your imagination where people's hands were disappearing. And she was screaming and sobbing. And Smash Mouth was, I thought Steve Harwell was going to go off the stage and punch people in the face. It was something.
She was like 16 years old. 16 years old.
So this last song that we have is from a group that sold 65 million records worldwide while they were together. That's more than a whole bunch of bands and rivals people like the Beach Boys. This is TLC.
No, I don't want no scrub. The scrub isn't that I can't get my love from me.
I didn't know they sold that many. They rivaled the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
They've been around forever.
When my girls were little, Rachel and Brittany, their cousins, who are millennials, would sit them down and play this song and then pause it and explain each line. Like, you do not want to be with a scrub. And like, Caribbean was five. What's a scrub? Completely indoctrinated them. Straight ahead. Oh my gosh. The hilarious Irish comedian. Be late for work. It's worth it. Colin Terrell is next. It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Easy Cater. Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work work.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here is Irish comedian Colm Tyrell.
Hi. How's it going? I'm from Ireland, okay? So I'm not as ugly as I look. People see me, they go, oh. And then they hear me speak. And they go, actually? For an Irish guy? Not too bad. You know Game of Thrones? They film that in Ireland. They did that to save on makeup costs with the extras. The film crew showed up and were like, hey, street merchant with leprosy, we're ready for your scene. Come on. That guy was like, no, I work with catering. And they said, get in here, you ugly pig. We need you. Bring all your friends and your family because we need some wildings for free. If you rewatch that show and look in the background, you'll see a bunch of Irish plumbers and stuff staring at the camera. Every time a dragon flies by, they wave. I love ugly people. I was a waiter for years. I never had an ugly person complain about anything. It's always a good-looking person who wants to speak to the manager. Usually a beautiful woman. She'd be like, I ordered my steak medium rare. And this is medium, medium rare. Ugly people, they never complain. They're just happy to be out of the house. They order their steak medium rare. You can just throw a fish at their head. You wouldn't even need to kill the fish. Just lob it towards their ugly face. and they'll catch it in their fang, like, yeah! And then they break its neck. And they'll smile at you as fish guts dribble down their ugly chin onto their ugly body, because they're happy for the eye contact. I love ugly people. I want ugly kids. Because you don't have to parent ugly children. Life will teach them their lessons. Naturally. I'm dating an American girl. We've been together for 5 years now, so we're almost done. Yeah. Nah, she's all right. She's okay. She's into the environment, though. And she recently bought some coffee cups that say, save the bees. The bees, guys, it's... Oh, God. The bees are... They're dying. And you can't go outside of your house anymore without piles of dead bees everywhere you go. And if the bees die, there'll be no more internet or something. I don't know. I zone out when she talks, but it's important. I'm told it's important. So every morning we drink coffee from these coffee cups that say, save the bees, right? I don't know what you guys are doing, but we're helping. Recently there was a dead bee on our windowsill, and my girlfriend's like, we have to save the bee. And I go, yeah, but he's already dead. He must not have seen the coffee cups, because that is a dead bee, if ever I saw one. But apparently, she explained to me, apparently a lot of the time when you see a dead bee, apparently it's not actually dead. Most of the time, it's actually just really thirsty and it's having a little dehydrated nap. And it will die, but you can save its life by giving it a drink. This is the type of ridiculous stuff that comes out of her face all of the time. But I can't leave her because I need a visa. So I prepared a dead bee a drink because I love this country. And I got tap water, and she goes, not tap water. They hate tap water. They only like sugary water. What are the odds of getting such a picky dead bee? You give it tap water, he turns into Gordon Ramsay, just, it's bland. This water is bland. So I mixed sugar with water to make simple syrup. I'm a mixologist now for a dead bee. And I put the sugary water on a spoon, but it won't drink it. This dead bee has lost its thirst. So I just start splashing its corpse, just covering its dead body in a sticky liquid. Dishonoring its memory completely. And the whole time my girlfriend is over my shoulder like, is it working? And I go, no, it's not working. And she goes, why not? I go, because it's dead. It's a dead bee. And I know it was dead because I had killed it with a magazine earlier that day when he came into my home uninvited. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That thing about throwing a fish to somebody and they're catching it in their mouth.
Call him Tyrell and we'll post that up at BOBANDSHERI.com when he said you don't have to parent an ugly child because life will teach them. I'm so tired. This is Bob and Sherry.
At the Bob and Sherry Show, we know there are all kinds of different cats, and we'd like to see yours. Just submit a pic of you and your cat to bobandsherry.com, and we'll post your pic. And you could be one of our weekly winners of a keepsake, My Life is All About My Cat frame with the winning photo inside, plus a hide and scratch cat box. Hide and scratch is the perfect scratching box. We want to see your cat. Yep, even that cat. Every day is Catter Day with Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
So Mary has a friend that has this amazing vacuum cleaner that I've been hearing about. It cleans like hardwood floors and tile and that, not so much carpet. And she's been talking about it and talking about it. And, you know, I'm kind of half listening. Well, she didn't mention it to me, but she went out and ordered one of these amazing vacuum cleaners. And so this thing, it has a tank, and on top of the tank, it tells you what kind of disgusting stuff you're vacuuming on your floor, like dust or dust mites or dog hair or whatever it is. It has a little readout there. And you can it lights up with an ultraviolet light, so you can see what you're picking up. Now, we, you know, vacuum and we sweep the house, you know, all the time, all the time. She said, come here. And she said, take this handle and go. And the floor lit up with this ultraviolet light. And the disgusting stuff on the floor was being sucked up by this new vacuum cleaner. I can't believe the depravity in which we live, evidently. It's so disgusting. And I said, how is this possible that we don't see this? And she said, it's the ultraviolet light. And that's all she can think about. She is vacuuming constantly. And when she came into my sunroom studio, I said, please don't, because I'm the one that takes care of this one. She said, oh no, I'm coming in. And she started vacuuming. I am a disgusting pig. This thing is scary. It's so good. Now, I think the house has probably never been cleaner, but I don't know how we've been missing this. And she said,
for a man who puts his bacteria-laden mouth spoon back into the jar of peanut butter, dismount from your high horse, sir.
This is not what I'm looking for. This is not what
really?
I'm looking for.
I could say that about my whole freaking life. This is not what you're looking for.
I'm going to come over to your house. I'll show you how disgusting you are. I'm going to bring it
oh,
over.
Oh, girl, I know. I live here. Please. Oh, yeah. I don't need a special vacuum to tell me.
It'd be nice if you could get me a spaghetti pie. It's been about 10 years. Oh, this is Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Hey, you can call the show 24/7 at 844-52-SHERI, or you can grab our app. It's free, and you can listen to the show every day and all of our podcasts, and you can enter contests and text the studio, and there's a little microphone in the bottom center of the screen. If you tap it and talk, the app will do all the work. So a couple of weeks ago, we had an Oddcast episode. That's our off-air podcast, all the things we can't, didn't, wouldn't, and probably shouldn't do on the regular show. And we were talking about like 23andMe and Ancestry, these consumer DNA tests, and how the results that you get can be so confusing that it can cause family drama. And somewhere along the way in that episode, I talked about my little niece, Violet, who has a rare genetic disorder called Angelman syndrome. And what's fascinating about the way that this syndrome operates is Violet, you get two genes. You get a gene from mom and a gene from dad. Well, Violet has what's called maternal deletion, meaning she's missing the gene from her mom, and the gene that she got from her dad is asleep. If they could wake her dad's sleeping gene up, they could cure Angelman's. And they're trying to do that right now as we speak. Like, medicine and science is so fascinating. So we got on this whole conversation about like your DNA and how you don't get 50-50 of what you think you're getting and blah, blah, blah. And we have a talk back.
Hi, Bob and Sherry. This is Shannon, the scientist. I was listening to the Oddcast and you were discussing genetic tests, and specifically you were talking about how your niece's daughter Violet has a portion of her mom's chromosome that has been deleted, which is the cause of Angelman's. What is probably going to blow your mind even more though is if you talk about how Violet, her portion of her body, her like the ovum, half of her genes coming from her mother, that part of it, the egg that became Violet, was formed inside her mother's body, but that happened while her mother was in utero. So in effect, Violet's grandmother was responsible for this genetic change happening in her body. I can discuss it further if it sounds confusing, but basically, baby girls are born with all of the eggs that they will ever have. So those eggs were made while the baby was being formed in the grandmother's body. So a lot of really cool things about epigenetics, which you guys have touched on, can be studied by looking at people who lived through a famine, whether it was the Irish potato famine or people who went through the Holocaust, and their grandchildren see epigenetic changes that were effective while the person was being starved. So that's where we get a lot of changes that are not genetic changes, but chemical changes to the genetic structure that can cause downstream expression changes. So very cool. I'd love to talk about any of this stuff anytime. Anyway, I really enjoyed that podcast. Keep coming. Yay, science.
Yay, science. Hey, you know what's fascinating is we now understand. It's so, you know what I love about my job and doing this show is a week ago, I was demonstrating what I think is my excellent owl impersonation. And now we're talking about like epigenetics and methylation and DNA. Like what a world. Like, I can't believe I get to do this and get paid. Not what I deserve, but something. So anyway, the fascinating thing about what Shannon the scientist is saying is we now know that generational trauma comes through our genes. So there's research that's been done on the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of Holocaust survivors and people that have lived through war and all of this other stuff. We are magical inventions. We are magical creatures. We are souls traveling through time in these magical bodies that are so complex and interesting. And if you think about it that way, maybe you'll behave a little bit better to your fellow humans because we're all in this hot mess together, right? And none of us have any clue.
It's so interesting that something that's traumatic could have an impact on, you know, your grandchildren. I mean, if you look back at like the turn of the 20th century in the early 1900s, people were really living in squalor in big cities like New York, you know? It had to affect them physically. And that
my mother's mother nearly died of starvation and was in an orphanage. Yeah.
Really?
And then you look at the way it comes down. One of my daughters said to me, thanks to my matrilineal genetic heritage of famine, I guess I'll never be able to lose weight. What I love about Shannon the scientist is you've given us all a new thing to blame our mothers for.
That's exactly right.
It is Bob and Sherry.
Mother's Day will be here before you know it. Avoid the last-minute crunch by ordering now from the Bob and Sherry store.
Hurry, hurry, hurry!
We have some great stuff and a great deal for you. Mother of all mothers tote bags, large enough to hold all the gear for your family outing.
Wow!
Mother of all mothers nightshirts, one size fits most, and it's a great beach cover-up. That's in addition to our regular line of Bob and Sherry books, drinkware, and wearables.
Okay, that sounds like a fair deal.
And we're giving you 15% off your entire order by using the code MOM23. That's MOM23 at checkout. Code expires on Mother's Day. The Bob and Sherry store, conveniently located at bobandsherry.com.
It's Catterday every day at bobandsherry.com. Enter to win a keepsake photo frame and a hide and scratch cat scratching box. Doc found something really interesting on TikTok that totally resonated with him. And so let's play it and see what you think.
The one thing people don't understand about 35 to 40 year olds hanging out, right, is that they don't. Come here. Once you reach the age of 35 to 40, the top three things that you do not like are loud noises, people, and traffic, okay? They do not go out with other people. They don't like going outside. What they want to do is they want to be by themselves indoors before 9 o'clock because that's the bedtime, right? Enjoying being in the homes that they are paying for. Does that make sense? The idea of leaving a house they have to make monthly payments on does not sound enticing in the slightest. Once you turn 35 to 40, you automatically gain this thing called an NTFF, and that is no time for foolishness. Does that make sense? Right? And if you were to have a family and you're 35 to 40, you're hanging out in your car, you're hanging out in the car, hiding in the car, enjoying the heater, right? Listening to music or maybe just a radio or maybe just silence, right? Come here. I promise you this. Ask a 35 to 40-year-old if they want to hang out outside past 9 o'clock, all right? They're going to say no with their eyes before they say no with their mouths. There was one time I worked with a coworker who was 39 years old. He put on the bulletin board, "I am normally home. I don't make any plans. That does not mean I will cover your shift." And that's basically what it's like being 35 to 40 years old.
Wow.
So I want to hear, because I agree with him, and I love that NTFF. Doc, what about that spoke so much to you?
Well, I will say the only exception to this is I play tons of softball. And of course, you play league ball throughout the week. It's always in the evenings. Sometimes the latest that a game will start will be at like 9:30 at night. But outside of that, any events, and he said, the guy said 9 o'clock is the latest. But for me, I think if your event starts probably like 8 o'clock or later, I have no interest in going. Like as soon as the streetlights come on, like for me, it's time to go home and just the day is officially over for me once the streetlights come on.
Suppose some of your friends from softball want to get together and have a beer at a local pub. Not for you.
It depends. Usually. They will want to get together after the game to hang out. And usually I get out of there because I'm, you know, this radio business is crazy. When you got to get up way early. But for the most part, still, I think because of, you know, growing up and, you know, having to come home when the streetlights are on, I just have no desire to be out at night, just hanging out all.
So is this something that is just you and the guy with the creepy voice who was just talking, or do most people? It's you too.
I'm kind of a homebody. Like, I'm sort of done. In fact, if you want to get me out at night, you got to get me out before it's night and keep me out, because once I'm with Doc, like once 7:30 p.m. rolls around, whatever plans I agreed to that sounded amazeballs at lunchtime sound exhausting by the time 7:30 or 8 comes around.
And I make sure
to some
like
of that.
And with like, you know, I play softball and do all of these kind of things where I go out during the day, because I feel like if I didn't do any of that, like with intention, I would never leave my house.
That's not a good thing. I have a couple of friends and they do not leave their house. Once it's over working, and they work part-time, semi-retired, they don't go anywhere. I can drive by their house and the cars are always there. I would go out of my mind if that were the case. I still would like to go out at least once a week. You know, it doesn't have to be a fancy dinner, but get out and kind of look around at people.
I was just telling Kevin the other night, like, the only time of the day where I feel all the stress drop, it'll be about 7 p.m. and we'll grab like a glass of wine or whatever and curl up on the couch and just chat and like process the day or look at goofy videos that the kids have sent us. That is when I feel all like everything come unknotted. So the thought of like having to get dressed, drive somewhere, and then there are people. I didn't used to be this way, by the way. The COVID lockdowns changed me apparently forever.
A lot of people, a whole lot of people. Yeah. So, Doc, you would not go to see a group you really like in concert?
As long as they start before 8 o'clock, then I would. If the doors open at like 7:30, sure. You've got it in the window.
A 4 o'clock concert, rock and roll.
Hey, I wish like these nostalgia bands. Why is REO Speedwagon not doing a brunch show? People would love that.
You know, 8 o'clock was late for them. I went to see them, and I'm like, could you not kick this off a little earlier? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I agree.
Doc, when you hear about Madonna not taking the stage till after 11 p.m., are you not filled with irrational rage, even though you weren't there? Like, who does?
I'm probably storming the stage at that point.
Yeah.
God, I'd pay to see it.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this is sponsored by Progressive Insurance? Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
Believe this.
I cannot believe this.
I'm not a big fan of our healthcare system because it's a pain to navigate. And I've been through hell lately with my husband, and we won't even get into what's going on with Lamar's wife, Carla. But I am very thankful to be alive at this time and not an earlier time when medical treatment was savage and completely insane. Like, so I want to tell you about a couple of things that you can be grateful are not happening to you today. So, back in the day, people who fell into the River Thames in London, who were pulled out alive but almost dead from the cold and drowning, you know, from swallowing water. Do you know what the treatment for that was? According to the Royal Human Society, which was like their American Medical Association, do you know what the treatment for a drowning, a person who nearly drowned to death was?
What?
Well, that would be a tobacco smoke enema, and it would be administered exactly as you might think. In fact, the Royal Humane Society distributed resuscitation kits with all the necessary equipment to carry out the tobacco enema at various points along the river. And so what you would do is you would blow the smoke right up there. Yeah.
Hey, we worked with a couple of guys that could have got that gig pretty easily.
Let me go ahead and say this puts a whole new spin on smoke rings. I swear.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. The instructions were to insert the stem of the special pipe into that area, cover the bowl with the special supplied piece of perforated paper, and blow really hard. It was thought that the tobacco warmed the patient from within and stimulated their breathing. Yonder tobacco smoke enema. But wait, there's more. You've heard the phrase cutting teeth, like baby, oh, the baby's fussy. Yeah. She's cutting her teeth. Wow. Right. Back in the olden times, you know, infant mortality was really, really high. And people didn't understand why babies were so very fragile. Because, you know, we didn't have antibiotics and we didn't know, right? And so people would frequently lose their children right around between 6 months and 2 years of age, which is coincidentally right around the time their teeth start coming through. Well, the medical geniuses of the time thought, well, that is not a coincidence. The process of teething is causing infant mortality. And like in England, like in the 1830s through the early 1900s, about 5,000 infant deaths were attributed to teething. So they decided that something needed to be done. And so they came up with a number of strategies to keep babies alive while they were teething. They would do bloodletting. They would take leeches and put the leeches on the baby's gums. Now, I'm sorry. I have a child that wouldn't eat fruit, but by all means, open wide and let me put a leech in your mouth, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And one of the most insane things that they did was they would burn the back of the baby's head. And whoa. I can't find the reason why they thought that was a good thing to do. But in France, one of the most famous French surgeons of the time came up with a new method, and it was called gum lancing. And this went on until pretty much Max's parents were born. As soon as they saw that the baby's gums were getting puffy because they were going to cut their teeth, they would take a surgical lance like a scalpel, they would open up the gums to see the teeth. Woo!
Holy.
Jeez. And we're out of time now, but speaking of teeth.
I'm surprised they didn't give the baby a smoke enema. My God.
You're going to want one after you hear this.
I'd rather have that than the...
I know.
The ancient Romans were very, they were vain people. They lived in a culture of beauty. And so that, you know, the ancient Romans used like lead paste for makeup and stuff. They did a lot of really foolish and unwise things because they didn't know any better. But in ancient Rome, a dazzling smile was a very big social status item. So they would practice their own ancient version of tooth whitening. You know what it is. I know you know, Lamar. Because it is gargling with your own urine. Yes.
Stop her, Bob. Stop her. Stop her, Bob.
She can't be stopped. I've been trying to stop her with this for 25 years.
Oy. Oh, I love history. So there you go. As miserable as your copays are, as impossible as it is to get an appointment, at least no one has told you, have you tried gargling with your own urine yet? I'm going to post all this up on Facebook.
Did it work?
Apparently, yeah. Apparently it did. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, don't roll your eyes because the People's Movie Critic, Lamar here, well, I'll let him tell you that next. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry are teaming up with Visit Florida this school year to salute teachers for all the hard work they do by giving them a chance to win a well-deserved relaxing vacation to Margaritaville Beach Resort, Fort Myers Beach. Situated on the Gulf of Mexico, this laid-back retreat is the perfect place for our teachers to find the coolest shells in the sand, sip frozen concoctions, indulge in local fare, and revel in spectacular sunsets. Plus, each teacher and their guest will receive exclusive access to the Fins Up Beach Club to enjoy the action-packed aquatic playground or chill out to the sound of great music on the Sunset Terrace. If you want to nominate a special teacher or even yourself to win this awesome vacation, log on to bobandsherry.com and hit the contest tab. Nominated teachers could win weekly prizes and qualify for the monthly grand prize, a spot to travel with us this summer on our trip for teachers to Florida. Teachers, we salute you with our trip for Teachers to Florida from Visit Florida and Bob and Sherry. Contest rules apply.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
Before we started today, getting ready, Max was complaining that one of his ears was infected and he couldn't hear out of it. And I asked him what he was taking for it, and he didn't really have an answer for that. He's trying to get some eardrops. And so I told him that when I was a kid, my mom, if we had an earache, my mom would take us into the bathroom and she would hand us a Q-tip, and you would pee on the Q-tip, and then you would take that pee on the Q-tip and rub it in your ear, and it would get rid of the earache. I mean, it sounded
can you hear
right
me, Max? Can you hear me, Max? Are you listening?
Listen, the only thing I can say is Lamar doesn't have an earache today, so it must have worked at some point along the line.
That is exactly right. Now, don't make any mistake. You can't, like, pee on the Q-tip and put it in somebody else's ear to help them. That will not work.
Oh, that's
it's a chemical
comfort
thing.
I got to stop doing that.
Scientific.
I had no idea.
This is it's very scientific. That only your urine... Hey, hey, don't make fun, because I've told y'all before, if you have a blood stain on your clothing, if you will spit on it, the enzymes in your saliva will break down the proteins of your blood.
Yeah.
Now, my enzymes won't break down your blood, so wouldn't it make sense that my pee would not help Max's ear? I'm not going to pee in your ear, Max, because it's not going to help you.
So if I murder you, Lamar, and your blood gets on my clothing, I can't bread it out with my spit.
No,
I have to get your spit. I have to make sure that I leave you alive long enough that I can get some of your spit before I kill you.
I'll be happy to spit on your bloodstains if you'll just leave me alive for just a little bit.
I really appreciate this information, because after this, I'm about ready to kill myself, so the bloodstain thing could work out for me.
When Lamar told me that, I remembered it, and I tried it, and it worked. It did.
I will make sure of this. I made sure of this when I was a kid. If I had an earache, it had to be plenty bad before I told my mama about it. Otherwise, I keep my mouth shut.
Making good choices, even back then.
This is Bob and Sherry.
I'm really fascinated by secret rooms, you know, rooms that are concealed behind doors and bookcases and paintings and that sort of thing. You get a lot of that in, like, you know, movies, and not a lot of that in real life, but I've been mesmerized by this TikTok one of my friends sent me. These people in Iowa found, they've been living in their house for 4 years, and they found a hidden room behind a bookcase in their basement. They've been renovating and remodeling. And so she's a nurse and a midwife. And on her TikTok, she was like, look at this. So her husband, there's a bookshelf in the basement. And when you slide the bookshelf away, there's a metal door. And beyond that, there's a small room. It's small. I mean, you can maybe fit three people in there. It would be pretty cramped. Cement, like cement floor, you know, cinder blocks, tiny. And there's a drain in the floor. And there's some reddish brown streaks around the drain that's probably just, you know, rust. You know, nothing here to get worried about. Yeah, probably. It's just rust. Like, why would you have that? And why would that not be disclosed when you sold the house? Because clearly the people who sold the house didn't even tell their real estate agent that, because the realtor would have to disclose it. And of course, the person doing the home inspection did not find it. Now, if Bob Lacey had a hidden room in his basement with reddish brown stains and a drain on the floor, the home inspector would find it. And Bob would be the lead story on CNN that night. But because,
and I'd have to sell the house for $100,000 less.
Less. But because Bob wasn't selling this house, the inspector somehow missed the hidden room with the drain and the brown stains. And it's probably nothing. But like, why is it there? And how would you feel if you found that in your house?
How old is the house? Does the
oh, I have no idea. Say? They didn't say. No, they didn't say. It's just they've been there 4 years. Yeah.
Yeah. I would have to, maybe Lamar could.
I'd want
to
know.
Would you think, is there some way that, I don't know, the house is old enough that people back then would, you know, they butchered a deer or something and they brought the deer into the house to, you know.
Bob, I know you're not a hunter, but 100% of no one does that. Let me just help you.
I know, I've never seen it, but I can't figure out why there would be a drain there. Unless you're keeping someone.
Well, I mean, it's a basement. No, let's keep an, you know, my first thought is always, it's murder. But let me like keep an open mind here and say it's a basement. And depending on where you live, you know, people get water in their basements. Maybe there's a drain in the floor in other parts of the basement, you know, in case you get a heavy rain and the water comes in. Maybe that's
or
why
animals were kept there. Or animals, which they shouldn't have been. Animals were kept there, and they have a hose, and they, you know, hose it down.
People on TikTok were like, well, that's a murder room. A lot of people were like, girl, that is a murder room. But then there were other people that said, that's not a murder room. They were growing pot in there. That's why the drain is there, because you had to water the plants. But now you would have had to have some pretty massive grow lights, because there's no windows or anything. But sure enough, yeah, you could see that. And I think if we're choosing between, is it a murder room or a grow room? If it's your house, wouldn't you rather it was a grow room?
Yeah.
You know what? Instead of growing marijuana, they could have been growing mushrooms. That was a thing for a while. People were growing mushrooms, and it needs to be dark and sort of, you know, moist. And so maybe they were, you know, bringing a hose down there to hose the mushroom area down.
Well, I can tell you that when they bought the house, they found a hidden room. This house had two hidden rooms in it. And the first hidden room they found was behind a like a full length mirror that was hanging on the wall. But when they discovered that, there were just kids' toys and like crayons and stuff. Mm-hmm. So clearly the previous owner's kids had been using that little space to play in. But now we've got two hidden rooms in this house. One of them has toys and crayons. The other is in the basement and has a drain on the floor with some rusty stains. So yeah, use your imagination. That would weird me out big time. I would have to know. I would have to bring in black lights and cadaver dogs and luminol and whatever else. I'd have to know.
My next door neighbor, Douglas Smith, the kid who asked, when do you have to go home of me? I was like 6 years old and 7 years old, and I went over to his house, and he said, you want to go and crawl through the secret area and listen to my sister talk with her girlfriends in her room? I went, yeah.
Of course.
And we crawled through and we could peek in to her room and listen to what they were saying. And we just sat there for like an hour. I think it was the most boring hour of my life. I mean, absolutely nothing interesting happened.
I'm really glad y'all were just listening and there wasn't also a peephole, because that crosses a line. I mean, the listening is bad enough, but if y'all have been looking through a peephole at Douglas's sister, we would need to have a talk about what we should and should not say when the microphones are on. It's Bob and Sherry.
At the Bob and Sherry Show, we want to celebrate your mom this Mother's Day, because she's more than a mom. Just go to the contest tab at bobandsherry.com and tell us about her. Include a picture of you and your mom. Four lucky winners will be chosen to receive a prize pack with jewelry from Landon Lacey Jewelry at landonlacey.com and a mom-themed pillow from Check Feather and Down. Celebrate your mom.
Mother's Day, Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day. Here's a gift I'll give to you.
With Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
A landfill in South Wales is currently being guarded around the clock. And it's being guarded from Bitcoin hunters. They're trying to seek their fortune. And the reason is...
From James a landfill? Howell,
yeah. James Howells, he's 38. He was an early investor in cryptocurrency. And so he has tracked down the location where he is pretty sure that 8,000 Bitcoin that is on a hard drive has actually been thrown away. And he's got, and that's got the keys to it. So he cannot get to this money without that hard drive. The value of those Bitcoins is over $1.8 billion.
Whoa.
He had a misunderstanding.
What a moron.
He had a misunderstanding with his partner, and for whatever reason, his partner threw away a hard drive containing the software that would allow him to get to the assets. He had been storing it in a black trash bag. Okay, I'm sorry. If I've got something that's worth $1.8 billion, I'm going to do a little bit better than a black trash bag. But now, here's the deal. To get it, he's going to have to excavate a potential of 100,000 tons of trash under the Newport Household Waste Recycling Center in South Wales. And the center's not going to allow him to do it. Because here's the deal. Where would he start looking? This is like over an acre. This is worse than a needle in a haystack. And there's just no way to know. And plus, some of the trash would have already been sent off to incinerators. So even if he got permission, what's the odds of him finding it? He has offered the council 10% of the money if they will let him excavate the area, but they're just not wanting to do it because it's going to be a whole bunch of red tape and all kinds of stuff. And who knows if they could ever, ever find it. You know, and he's like, well, they want me to quit, but I'm not going to quit. He's going to try to sue and all this kind of stuff. But
Lamar, I am with you. Like, if I have something worth $1.8 billion, I'm buying a little safe at Costco and putting it in there. Like, what are you doing?
I'm putting it in a bank. Are you kidding? One of those bank
safety deposit boxes.
Safety deposit boxes. One of the big ones. I had a small one once, but when I would go in there, I'd see some of the big ones would be big enough for a hard drive. My goodness, what an idiot to do that.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, cash out. I know Bitcoin says have come back. They kind of fell out of favor for about a year. They've come back a little bit. Cash out, baby. Cash out.
Oh my gosh. 1.8 billion.
I'd have to go in there to try to find it. I would have to. I'd up it up, you know, 25%. Just let me go through that.
Well, the big problem here is because the words got out, they're having to post, and they're going to have to continue to post guards because in the middle of the night, people are running out there with shovels and digging, trying to find
it. And it's an insurance problem. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, God, yeah. This is a disaster.
It is totally.
But I don't think you could ever find it. I don't know how you could ever find it.
Oh, if it were me, I would go back to the dump and I'd set fire to myself. Over a billion dollars.
Sherry, how about St. Anthony prayer now?
Yeah, now maybe somebody's a believer. Yeah. Why did you store that in the garbage bag? Can you have any insight on that one, Lamar?
No, like, there's no more. No.
Sir, do you not have a sock drawer like other people? Like, there was nowhere else in your whole house you felt you could put that?
I would have left that part out of the story because he looks like a buffoon. I mean, oh my gosh.
You know what I think some of it was? If those were actually gold bars that he had, those gold bars would be in a bank, or they would be in a safe at least. And I know that Bitcoin, you can cash out and there's actual value there, and I understand that. But I think in the back of his mind, he was saying, you know, it's, I don't know how I got this. I lucked out, but it's Bitcoin, you know? He's not taking it as seriously as he would.
He is now. Yes, he is. Good luck to him, is all I can tell you.
Yeah, that's right. It's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
Can I tell you
all
what happened at my house last night? It was very exciting. Oh my goodness. It was a contest involving prizes and everything. So, you know, like when I cook dinner for my family or my husband, here's what I do. I cook the meal and I serve it and then we eat it. And that's the whole production. Kevin announced yesterday that he was going to cook dinner. I was like, oh, great. Awesome. What are we having? And he said, we're having a blind hot dog taste testing contest. What? Can we just not have dinner? Can we just not have dinner like normal people? He goes, nope. He goes, you're stuck up about hot dogs, woman. And I'm going to see if you really are legit. So we had had a disagreement. We'd had a disagreement because a month ago he cooked and dinner was hot dogs. And he bought, I don't know where he found these hot dogs. It was a brand I'd never heard of. I think they were like two packs for $1. And they were weird. They were a weird color. Like hot dogs are already hot dog colored when they're uncooked.
Yeah.
And that's a disconcerting shade of pink. But these had like an extra level of almost fluorescence going on. And then the texture was a little bit weird. And so when he said to me not too long ago, I'm going to cook hot dogs again. I was like, well, I don't want to hurt your feelings because I really appreciate that anyone would cook a meal for me. But I like a higher quality hot dog. And he went, what? Like, hot dogs are problematic enough. I mean, nobody's 100% sure what's in them. It's basically like a gelatinous emulsion of bits and pieces. And so when you brought home that weird pink looking peculiar hot dog that I think you maybe bought from a stranger at a gas station, it made me nervous. And I want you to buy better quality dogs. Like, go get some of those kosher hot dogs. Go spend some real money on these hot dogs. So he goes to the grocery store and he comes home and he announces that I will be blindfolded and I will be taste testing these hot dogs. And he's going to prove to me. That I can't tell the difference and that I actually like his cheap, weird back alley mystery dog better than like,
he put
Boar's
some
Head
thought
or
and
Nathan's
effort
or
into this stunt. I want to know how that went. So how did it go?
Thank you, Bob. I mean, wouldn't it have just been easier to cook some dinner? But no, we're having like a blindfolded taste test. So the moment comes, it's like 6:30 last night. And he says, woman, it's time. So I come and I sit down at the kitchen island. And I'm blindfolded. And he's prepared 3 hot dogs on buns. And he says, all right, here's the first one. And he holds it up and I take a bite out of it. And I chew it and swallow it. Take a drink. Cleanse your palate. So cleanse my palate. Here's the second one. Take a bite. Chew it and swallow it. And as I'm doing this, he says, I'm sorry, we don't have any sides, but I think there's some pretzel sticks in the pantry. Oh, no, let's don't be health nuts. Let's don't get crazy over here. Third hot dog, take a bite, chew it, and swallow it. And he goes, well, what's your verdict? And I said, well, they were all pretty good. The last one was too snappy, and the middle one had kind of an off. I think the first one is my favorite. And he went, ha ha, ha ha, ripped my blindfold off, and it was the cheap mystery dog.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
How could you have let that happen?
Bob,
are you kidding me?
Sometimes when you're married to someone or you love someone, you have to step aside and let them have the greatest freaking moment of their whole lives. I have not seen him that happy since, well, I don't know that I've ever seen him that happy. He was so happy.
Did you throw that contest? Did you know that was the one?
I didn't.
Mm-mm. That was actually your choice. Really?
Once he pulled the blindfold off and revealed to me that number one was the mystery dog, number two was Nathan's, and number three was Boar's Head, I was like so mad at myself for liking number one the best.
Why don't you like the hot dog that snaps? I love that. That's one of my favorite things.
It was almost too much of a snap. Like I really had to, like it fought my teeth a little bit. And when it comes to a hot dog, you need to just get it down. Just bite it and get it down. If it's fighting you at all, then you're thinking about what you're eating and it's too much. So yeah.
I disagree.
Sure, wow. You're living in a sitcom.
I am. If the man would agree to it, I think we could have a reality show.
If you saw this on a sitcom, you'd go, yeah, that would never happen at home.
He needed that win so bad. And even though I hate losing because I'm super competitive, I have to say, I haven't seen him that happy ever before. He was floating around the kitchen. Floating, I tell you.
Thank God Spam doesn't have any competitors, or that'd be the next one you'd be up for.
Now, a hot dog and some pretzel sticks is not, as you know, like my usual way of rolling. But his joy was just so
you're a good wife.
Satisfying.
You are such a good wife.
So there you go. The cheap mystery dog won the day.
At the Bob and Sherry Show, we want to celebrate your mom this Mother's Day because she's more than a mom. Just go to the contest tab at bobandsherry.com and tell us about her. Include a picture of you and your mom. Four lucky winners will be chosen to receive a prize pack with jewelry from Landon Lacey Jewelry at landonlacey.com and a mom-themed pillow from Check Feather and Down. Celebrate your mom.
Mother's Day, Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day. Here's a gift I'll give to you on this Mother's Day.
With Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talkback. Talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
So our toaster oven broke at the house. I mean, it's just old and we had to throw it out. And we went out and got a new microwave because we needed a microwave / toaster because we had a new fan installed with the new stove. So we bought one. And it's a good one, except I can't figure out how to work the damn thing. I can't figure out how to toast. I can microwave. I can air fry. I cannot figure out how to toast. So Mary had gone to bed, and I just wanted something to eat. So I got a Thomas's English muffin, and I put it in this air fryer thing. And it doesn't have a button that says toast, so you have to kind of figure it out 30 seconds at a time. So I thought I was toasting the Thomas's English muffin, and it came out. It was kind of warm, and I went, all right. And I put some peanut butter on it, and I ate it, and it was just not satisfying. It just wasn't. It wasn't hot enough. And so I put it back in, and I nuked it. And I took it out again. The peanut butter was the temperature of the center of the earth. And I put it in my mouth.
In your mouth.
And I went,
oh!
Have you ever burnt the roof of your mouth? You know how the skin is just... That was first... And then my upper lip, and I went into the bathroom and I went, oh my God. Now, it didn't look bad. It was very small where I burned my upper lip. And I had decided not to tell Mary because I'm an idiot. And so I said nothing. And I went, you know that she's observant. She does not allow anything. And it took 2 hours the next morning. When she got up, came into the kitchen, looked at me, and she said, what's wrong with your lip? And I went, there's nothing. No, there's something wrong. What did you do? And I said, I burnt my lip on a muffin with peanut butter. Oh, the hilarity. The hilarity. There is nothing. I could lose one hair, and I swear to God, this woman would say, you're starting to lose your hair. And now every day for the last several days, how's the lip coming along? Give Mom a little kiss here. Oh,
maybe not. Oh, my God, I can't believe that I did that, and I can still feel it. I hate this new air fryer. I just hate it. It's Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.